Jumbo Ekabo. Welcome to the Rich Immigrant Podcast. This podcast was created to be what the next immigrant needs to thrive and what we need as an immigrant community. In this podcast, we talk about attaining financial independence, living full lives in the new countries we call home, and we'll do all that while talking about topics that pertain to the immigrant community all over the world. We'll do that with grace, with truth, with love, and yes, with great background music. So please, dance into every podcast episode with me. I'm Diola Terum, and I'm your host. Welcome. Hey, 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 welcome back to the podcast. This is episode 30 of the Rich Immigrant Podcast and the 9th episode in season 3. So we are getting to the end of season 3. And so I thought I would make this episode kind of a mid-year catch-up with you to just kind of tell you how things are going with me from a financial standpoint, but also talking about what's happening in the market in general. So let's just call this, you know, I'll figure out the title after I record this, but like just a mid-year catch-up, mid-year money update, right? So the first thing I'm going to talk about is my crypto journey. And so for anyone that's read my newsletters, and I don't know if I said this on the podcast here this year, but I know I wrote it in a newsletter that one of my goals this year was to learn more about cryptocurrency and maybe start to be a cryptocurrency investor. Of course, I consider myself a newbie at crypto, but I've been kind of paying attention this year. And I had decided I was going to start with Ethereum, and I just procrastinated. And as I procrastinated before making the purchase, it kept going up. And then it got to early May, and I said, okay, I'm tired of procrastinating. I'm going to go ahead and just, you know, put some money into Ethereum. Well, I did. And at the time I did, prices were high, right? And then 1 week later, crypto started tumbling and I lost about 50% of my investment, you know, over the first week or two. And that's the thing though. This is the volatility that comes with cryptocurrency right now, right? Might get to a point where it'll stabilize, but that's what it is right now. And the key here is, you know, no one wants a 50% dip in value within a week. But the good thing is this, that I invested in crypto with volatility in mind. And I did not invest more than I could afford to lose. So I listened to my own advice and I listened to what I always say, right? And so I'm personally going to, my goal is to have crypto be 1% to 2% of my overall portfolio. The amount I put in is not even 1%. So actually in the past month again, you know, Ethereum still costs less. The prices have gone down. So I actually bought more. How will this pan out? I don't know. And this is not investment advice. I'm just giving you an update on what I said I would do at the beginning of the year and where that is now. So of course I plan to hold long term. I'm not a short term investor. I don't buy and trade. I don't have the time or the interest in doing short term deals. And so I've bought some, I'm holding it and we'll see. And yeah, I may buy more as I look to get to that 1% to 2% range. So that's my update there. And I think when we talk about money conversations, I want to talk about losing money as well, right? Because, you know, I know we see the headlines that say, oh, this person paid off $100,000 of debts in one day, or this person grew a $1 million portfolio. And the truth is, things take time, right? And so those that invested in crypto 3, 4, 5 years ago, maybe even last year, you know, last year has been a bit of an anomaly, right? The returns that people have seen in the market in the last year is not the level of expectation you should have going forward. If someone is telling you they can turn the same thing every year, they're lying to you. But over time, right, things, you know, the stock market has gone up. Crypto is a new game. So we can't really compare crypto to the stock market. It's an entirely different beast. But just sharing my quote unquote loss. But really, you haven't really lost anything until you sold. So, you know, ask me in a few years. We'll see how this goes. Bum-ba-dum. The next thing has been one of the hottest topics is just the housing market in the U.S. And I'm sure if you're listening in Canada, I know it's a hot housing market there as well. I'll talk about the U.S. because that's the market that I know of and that I'm in right now. In one of the podcast episodes last year, and I don't know who caught it, I shared that, you know, I reached my down payment goal last year, and so I was kind of ready if I wanted to buy a place. And here's the thing about me though, I've never been one that's been like fully like, oh my God, I want to be a big real estate investor. That's I'm not really excited about that, to be honest. But I thought about, okay, would I buy a home to live in and all that stuff? So I was like, okay, you know, for the right price and all that stuff, I'm interested in buying a home, not my forever home, but just a home to live in. But it has to cost me the same or less than what I pay now. So I'm not trying to buy a home and increase my housing expenses to me. Not interested in that. I rent. I love where I stay. I'm building wealth even as a renter. And maybe that's a whole nother topic on its own. And so, of course, the instances where buying a home makes sense. For people or for a family, and the times where, you know, it's really just up to your preference. So for me, you know, with the housing prices going crazy, you know, I guess, well, let me first break down what's happening in the housing market. So first, right, since I made my down payment, prices already started going up during the pandemic, and they have continued to go up. The supply for homes, either new homes or people selling their old homes, cannot keep up with demand. And the supply of homes in the US is the lowest since the 1970s. And so with demand as high as it is, like little can be done to fix the supply issue in the near term. So in my opinion, I'm not a financial advisor, but in my opinion, as a, you know, as a consumer that kind of tries to read up on this stuff, I think there'll be an imbalance, you know, for years ahead. I don't think this, sh you know, it, the pandemic is not going to end and then all of a sudden there are homes for everybody to buy. I think home prices are going to be high for a while because supply is lower than demand. And it's a couple of things, right? More millennials are looking to buy homes right now. There's a low supply of construction supplies. You know, there's been the talk about the prices of steel, but there's also a big thing that we have people haven't talked about, and that's the hangover from the Great Depression, Great Recession, right, in 2008. Because in that time, from that time onwards, for the next decade after that, there was really a huge slowdown in the construction of new homes in the US. And so when you stop building for a decade, what happens? There's a backlog, there's a supply issue. And there was always going to be the supply issue, but then the pandemic then exacerbated it, right? It accelerated, you know, the supply problem and made it even more prominent than maybe it would have been had we not had the pandemic. And so, you know, when I think about this, right, I think my biggest issue is that housing is becoming less affordable. And when you think about wealth and how wealth is built in this country, right, especially for low to middle income families and families of color. For most of our community, wealth is built through home ownership. And so if people, you know, looking at salaries in the past year, salaries have not gone up at the rates that that home prices have gone up in the past year or two, right? And so people cannot afford huge down payments, right? And so the people that need homes the most and need homes to build wealth are those that are going to be affected by it the most. Like even if like those of us like millennials or Gen Zs that have good paying jobs, you know, the average home price in my state is now $300,000. How can a 25, 26, 27-year-old person try to find a $60,000 for a down payment? We're trying to pay, you know, the 20%. That's a lot of money, and it will take time to save that when people are dealing with, you know, student loans and all of that. So I worry that home ownership is going to become even more attainable for families that need it the most. And so, I mean, I'm out the game, you know, because first of all, I'm in a position where, you know, I earn a good living. I'm okay with renting. I don't have a strong desire to own. I only want to own a home that I feel like in a few years I can sell and make money off of. You know, honestly, if I'm just being honest, I don't have a desire to put down roots. I don't. I'm open to moving again in a few years. So, if a home I'm buying is not a good deal, if I don't think it's a good deal, to me, there is no incentive for me to buy and hold on to it. If it's maybe an investment property or, you know, a duplex or a triplex or something, maybe I'll consider it. But if you're buying a duplex or, you know, triplex, right, you'll need more of a down payment. So at this point, I'm just stepping out, leaving the market for those that need and want it the most. And you know, I think at this point, I may invest some of my down payments in in the stock market, because otherwise the money is just sitting there doing nothing. And then of course inflation is all around us. So yeah, so that's it. I'm stepping out the game, and I am living it for those that need it the most. But I'm hopeful that that something is done so that those that need homes are able to get them. But at this point, I honestly don't know. Okay, I know that's not the most uplifting part of the conversation, but I think it's good that we have this open, honest conversations, right? Just so that we know what's happening, why is it happening, and how can it impact you and I, right? Of course, there's still FHA loans that offer the 3.5% down payment, but with home prices so high, even that 3.5% is going to be more. So anyway, clearly this is on my mind, this is bothering me, but that's it on the home market. Next thing I want to talk about is just in general, right? How is my portfolio doing? My portfolio is doing well. Of course, aside from crypto, Mitch makes up just a such a small piece that honestly doesn't really matter. Everything is growing, which is what we hope for. And compounding is just doing its magic. I don't share exact numbers on here because, just since I'm not anonymous, I can't do that, right? I need to, apply sense in how I share online. But I'll say this, right? I think, it's easy to see the highlights and be discouraged and be like, oh man, I haven't even hit 50K, or I haven't even hit 100K in my retirement account. And that's the thing. I'll tell you that I did not even hit 100K in my retirement account. Even at 2015, when I was moving to the UK, I did not have 100K in my 401k, right? And I had been working for, it was almost 6 years at the time. However, I left for 3 years and came back, and the account by itself, had grown past 100K. And so the biggest thing here is just start and be consistent, right? So when I look at my portfolio and I look at how much has just, I look at how much I've put in this year and how much has just grown through due to the market. Of course, the amount grown just from the market far out, exceeds what I put in this year alone. And when I look at that, that just tells me that it's what I put in when I started, when I could only put 50 a month in my Roth IRA, when I could only do the 6% in my 401k. That money I put starting in 2009, 2010 is now compounding and compounding and compounding, and it is a beautiful thing to see. So I'll say this, right? Don't look at, oh, how much have I reached? Look at, well, am I being consistent in putting money aside for my retirement? If you are able to do so, please just start, and you will look back 3, 4, 5 years. You'd be like, wow, that's how much it's grown. Even looking back 1 year, you'd be like, wow, that's how much it's grown. So please, 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 if you haven't, just start to be consistent with whatever you can, and things will grow. And if you've got questions, hit me up in the DMs. I'm always happy to answer a question. Or if it's a question that I think a lot of people will benefit from, I'll do a podcast episode about it. And on that note, someone had reached out to me with some questions about, portfolio allocation. I think that's one that I can talk about it, but I think it's best if I just like do a blog post about it, right? To just kind of write it out so you can always refer to it and look at, and revisit it when you need to. So I'm working on doing a blog post on just portfolio allocation, how to think about that. And then last thing I'll say on just investing in portfolio is that, hitting that first 100K, it takes time, right? And so, I would tell you that once you hit that first 100K in your net worth, the next ones come faster than that very first one. And so I haven't hit a million yet, so I'm hoping to God that it will happen soon in this decade, just know that it gets better with every 100K. The next thing I want to talk about is, should I sell my car? I don't know if you're aware, maybe if you're not in the housing market, it's not something that's, popping up to you, but I'll talk about that. I mean, housing market, gosh. I mean, if you're not in the car market, right? Maybe it's not popping out to you, but I'll talk about what's happening in the used in the car market in the US, used and new car market. So, the US car market is also insane, like the home market, right? And the car dealerships that sell new and or used cars cannot keep up with customer demand right now. So why is all this happening? Well, there's a shortage problem. So there's a shortage of computer chips that go into cars that are being produced, and that shortage, was caused by the pandemic, and it is reducing or slowing down the production of vehicles in the US. And then aside with that, there's a perfect storm because that plus the strong recovery in the economy, low interest rate, like record low interest rates, and people had savings from the pandemic, right? And so people that were supposed to buy cars last year didn't buy, and so there's pent-up demand. So there's demand, and then there's supply. There's a supply issue, right? Similar to what's happening in the market, in the housing market. Demand exceeds supply. Like dealers, like I was reading about an article where a dealer said that, they have cars that are coming in that have sold out before the cars even arrive because people have signed to buy those cars before they arrive. And on the other hand, used car prices have gone up like more than 30% year to, I mean, in the past year. And it's crazy because only 1 year ago we were reading the news about how the rental car companies, they were selling their inventory, right? Because of the pandemic, no one was traveling. They had all these cars, on their hands, and they needed to get rid of them to survive. And I'll tell you this, right? I don't know if I told my sister, I just thought to myself that like, should I buy one or two used cars from these car rentals and then sell them when things ease up? I literally thought about it and then I did not do it, right? And it thinks me, I mean, it reminds me of that Warren Buffett quote, right? To be greedy when everyone is fearful and to be fearful when everyone is greedy. So when everybody was fearful about the car market, about the pandemic last year, I should have gone forward and bought a car or two, used my down payment savings, right, to buy like two cars or something, and then sold it now and could have made like 30% profit. And so what I'm learning is to if something is on my heart to do, and yes, there would have been some risk involved, just to go ahead and do it because I've had a couple of instances where that's happened and I could have actually made pretty good decisions. And so I'm learning to trust myself more and to be okay with taking some risks that I maybe could have been, it probably would have been unpopular. And I also asked myself where I would have parked the car in the winter, right? Or would I have to be going outside to like warm up the car? But yes, that's just something that I thought about doing last year and I didn't do, and that's okay, right? But yes, that's what's happening in the car market. So really, there are two sets of people that can win right now in the market. One, if you have a good condition used car that you don't need or that you can do without, there's never been a better time to sell it. The second one is if you have a home that you don't need right now, if you're actually open to going back to renting, or if you happen to be moving, or for some reason you have two homes, there's never been a better time to sell a home. Okay, so I'm getting to the end of this podcast episode here. Oh yeah, about the car. Did I think about selling my car? I did, but actually, I need it right now, especially on the weekend. So I'm not selling my car at the moment. But I did get contacted by my dealer that I bought my car from 3 years ago to sell my car because my car is in good condition. I have low mileage on it and all of that. Okay, now getting to the end of the episode. In the past month, I had a really, really beautiful reunion with the professional team I worked with when I was in Scotland for work 3 years ago, and we're celebrating 5 years of the project. And I moved in a year before the project started to transition and be a part of that transition team. So we really built a team of, I don't know, hundreds of people from scratch, and it still today is. One of the best things I've done personally and professionally. It allowed me to spend more time with my niece who lived in London while I lived in Edinburgh. And that to me, I could never put a price on that experience. It also gave me an incredible professional opportunity to lead and build a team as global as, I mean, the most global team I'd ever worked with. So we had our reunion and there were like over 600 people on the call. Yes. And not everybody was on, of course. And I had a chance to just speak to to everyone and what it was like, building a team from scratch and mobilizing a team. And for me, the biggest thing, I mean, there's so much, I mean, I said a few things in 2 minutes. But it's wonderful to look back on your legacy while you're still alive and see your legacy in action. You know, I think about legacy in everything that I do, and it's one of the reasons why I do this. Because I think that we are called to serve people that we may never have even met as well, and platforms like this allow us to do that. But going back to that session and that moment, I literally could see my legacy because the teams that I handed things on to were doing it and doing it well. So I think about making myself redundant as a goal professionally in any seat that I'm in. If the people that I lead, people that I train are able to carry on the baton without me, that means I've done my job. And that to me is the greatest compliment, right? So it was just beautiful and just thankful to God for the opportunity to see your legacy while you're still alive. But also the reminder that every day we are writing our legacies and what do we want that to look like. And our legacies are, yes, there are children and all of that, but it's so much more. It's what do you leave and every path you walk on. You know, and I think if we think about every interaction as an opportunity to live a legacy, I think we'd live more intentional lives and more impactful lives. And so, on that note, I didn't plan to get deep there, but it just happened. I'm working on something that it's been dear to my heart for a while. And as you can tell, the immigrant or expat community is dear to my heart. I'm just writing down everything I wish I knew. When I moved abroad, and to help you or anybody else in your world just thrive if you make a transition to another country. And of course, there are the things you can do and opening a bank account and all of that. But I think for me, I'm writing more about the conversations I wish I had with other people so I could position myself better. And so, yes, it'll be in the form of an ebook and it should be out. I'm not sure about this month, but at the latest next month. And that's perfect timing because that'll be August is the month I moved from Nigeria to the USA. So I'll talk about it more a bit next episode or maybe the episode after that. But I'm excited to be able to serve in this way. And yeah, thank you for listening to this episode of the podcast. Thank you for listening to my half year updates. One other update is just in the past month, three of my really good friends have been blessed with beautiful babies. So the 2021 has also been the years of new babies, and I'm so excited and just blessed to be a part of their lives and a part of their celebrations. So I hope you are having a great, great summer. Know that in this corner of the internet, I'm rooting for you, and I am excited that you're listening and about to enjoy the rest of my summer. You know, I'll be back next week, but hey, I want this soft life. That's what I'm working towards. But I don't even know why I said that. But anyway, thank you for listening and have a wonderful week. See you next week. Bye.
Hey there, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Rich Immigrant Podcast. Before you go, I'd like you to know that there will always be room for you at this table. And as I wrap this up, I'd like to ask for your help with a few things to help support and amplify the message of the podcast. First, please subscribe. Click the subscribe button, and that way you're notified of new episodes. Second, if you enjoyed this episode, please write and review the podcast. That way you're signaling to Apple that the content here is, you know what, popping, and you amplify our message to other potential listeners. And last but not least, please follow us on Instagram at The Rich Immigrant. And as you go out into the world, I hope that you're encouraged to show up and live fully in whatever country you've chosen to call home. Ciao, bye, au revoir. See you next time.